Amen. Yeah, I hope I don't get a copyright strike for that. I can't remember where I got that audio, but that was years ago, so I don't know. Maybe it's one of those public domain things, hopefully. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we love you, and we trust you. Thank you for teaching us how to be still and know that you are God. Thank you for blessing us with every movement of your hand. And thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And also thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see all that's happening. And have a desire in our hearts to go forth and try to warn the people. Thank you for giving us utterance in that respect. Eyes that see, ears that hear. Thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak on this Sabbath day, so that you and you alone are glorified. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I thought I had figured out a way to keep the Wi-Fi stable and the people that fall out stable, but it didn't work. The white tea stream fell out anyway. But that's just a monitor on it. It won't stop the stream if it falls out, just so you guys know. But I created a new page that, you know, because I was getting these warnings that, you know how Chrome and Google and a lot of the browsers out there, if you don't have HTTPS, or even if you do have it, if you have something on the page that doesn't point to a secure HTTPS connection, Google Chrome and other browsers will say, dangerous page, it's very dangerous, don't go there. When it's, you know, nine times out of ten it's not dangerous, but there are some people that, you know, do put up bogus sites and that are dangerous. But there's nothing on my site that's dangerous. And I don't even really need HTTPS because I don't sell anything. But, I don't know. So I had to take the, you know, like when you come to log into the chat room, I took out the script that shows everybody that's in the room because I kept throwing up a broken padlock. You know, in other words, it's a dangerous website. Don't go there, you know. And so I took that out. And but there's a link to where if you want to see who's in the room. And I thought that link would help stabilize a Wi-Fi connection. Because when you click that link, it shows you everybody that's in the room, and then it refreshes. I have it refreshing every 20 seconds, which will keep a NIC card awake. But for some reason on a tablet, that don't matter, because these tablet NIC cards don't, you can't really program them. There's only four options. So anyway, we're picking up this week with the Silver Trumpets. We're going to take a look at those. Let me turn on this fan here. And we're going to start in Numbers chapter 10, verse 2, and then I'm going to jump down to verses 8 to 10 later. Well, in a minute or two. Well, as I'm reading. And this is what it says. It says, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow them with blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And by the way, the forever throughout your generations, because this is an ordinance, as long as there's until the prophetic event that says Shiloh comes, you know, at the end of when the feast days were put on the cross and abolished. Because the devil has changed a lot of the terminology in Scripture. People think forever means eternity. And most of the times, unless it says forever and ever, most of the times it says it's for a lifetime, or in this case, generations. But when I read this, Numbers 2, verses 8 to 10, and thanks again, Brother Sean and Brother Warren, everybody that's helping out, and Eli and Dwayne and everybody that's, you know, helping out with the moderation. Brother Warren. Let me do that. There you go. There's your tabernacle. Thank you for reminding me. I always forget that. Last week we went through the entire service with the children thing up. I'm thinking of making a picture where I never have to change. It has everything on it, but it's not going to be easy. Because I always forget to switch that over. But as I was saying, when I read this passage from Numbers chapter 10, I not only see how the trumpets were blown in obedience unto the Lord, who I am sure heard the sound of the trumpets each and every time, you know, that the people blew them. I could see they were blown so as to call the people before God into assembly as well. And not only that, but that sound of the trumpet would go beyond the camp itself, as we all know. I mean, sound travels as far as it wants to. There's no stopping it. And so that means, even those people in the vicinity that were not of Israel would be able to hear the sound of the trumpet as well, which, as we know, will bring to mind the God of the Bible, because they would investigate the reason for the trumpet the first, if it's the first time they hear it, right? Because they're going to investigate, because in those days when you heard a trumpet, it usually meant a warning or a battle was about to begin or something like that. And so they're going to investigate it. And so every time they hear it, then when they know the way it sounds, because there's different ways of blasting the trumpet, I would imagine, you know, and they're going to know it's all about the God of the Israelites, let's say. And so the trumpets can be seen representing how God's people today go forth to preach, teach, hand out books and tracts so as to gather the people in assembly before the God of the Bible when the day of their final reward draws near worldwide, as we see is the case, you know, now in our day. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." You know, the Lord declared that they must blow the trumpets when going out to war. They also blow them at the start of the feast days, as well as, you know, during their days of gladness or even their solemn days. In other words, nothing should distract the people of God from doing that which the Lord called them to do. If you're having a good day or a bad day, you know, a gladness or solemn, you blow the trumpet in Zion. You still do the work. You know, as they were in the wilderness for those 40 years, two trumpets would be all that was needed to be heard throughout the camp. But when they finally came to the promised land, they would need many more so as to, you know, relay the calling all throughout the land from region to region, as they were given a lot of land. And so again, one can see how many people, regardless of their faith, are going to be hearing the calling of God as the trumpet is sounded across a massive region, you know, because there's other people around the area. It's just like what's going on today. I would imagine they're still blowing the trumpets to some extent in Jerusalem today, and then, you know, the Palestinians and all those people nearby are going to hear it as well. But why did the Lord command these trumpets before to be formed out of one piece of silver? Well, as we learned earlier, silver is a symbol of redemption, and especially so on the Day of Atonement. And so, just as the priest's garments were woven from one piece so as to represent his life was to be immersed to the one great purpose, you know, no sidetracks, nothing, just one purpose that was given him of God, just as every Christian who has become a new creature in Christ should do to this day, and especially, you know, the leaders in the churches, one can see why the trumpets were made of one piece of silver. You know, it's just like with the robe. There's no seams in it. It was seamless. Yeah, that's why they cast lots for the robe of our Savior. You know, it was seamless, and in those days that was considered, you know, expensive. I guess, or the you know, better than the cheap stuff that they had. Not so much expensive, but you know what I mean. And so when those trumpets were blown, no matter if the person was headed to war, a feast day, readying to offer a sacrifice, or even a good or a bad day, when the trumpet was sounded, they all had one purpose in mind. They knew the sound of the trumpet. They knew that it was for something, and it was always to assemble themselves in obedience before the Lord. In fact, in Leviticus 23, wherein we find the truth needed to show the error of those that claim Sabbath was abolished at the cross, using Colossians 2 out of context, Leviticus 23 goes into some detail in regards to all this. Because we clearly see all the feast days listed, you know, as annual Sabbaths in Leviticus 23. And the clincher is found in verse 38 that says those feast days are all besides the weekly Sabbath of the Lord. Therefore, proving the Sabbaths in Colossians 2 that ended at the cross are feast days and not the weekly Sabbath. You know, when we see this in Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 25, or 2:25, you know, Leviticus 23 to 25, it says that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And so again, those trumpets were a command of the Lord that was to be obeyed by his people. This blowing of the trumpets by the priests always alerted the people that the feast days were, you know, soon to come. But especially so for the Day of Atonement, so that the people would know to use the next 10 days to confess and repent of all their known sins before that high day came. And yes, that is why the present truth was put forth by obedient men and women of God 10 years before 1843 came. Or actually, 1844, because they made the mistake. They still made the mistake in 44, but that's the actual date of the beginning of the investigative judgment. I mean, it's amazing how the sanctuary even highlights the prophetic period of time as well. And I'm going to go into a little bit detail about this more in a few moments, but you know, like the sermons, the studies, the books, the tracts that we hand out, those are trumpets. And those trumpets, you know, it has to make a certain sound. You know, I can't remember the verse right off in regards to that, but it has to have that certain sound. And so these trumpets grant the people ample warning and a specific period of time to make the necessary preparations so as to present themselves obedient at the time of the cleansing in the sanctuary. You know, during the midnight cry, I'm saying. And so Leviticus 23, verses 28 to 30 says this. 28 to 30. It says, and ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. And then verse 29 says, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy among his people, from among his people. In other words, in that same day, every case in Israel was to be decided for life or death. You know, this was the in the type the final separation of the sinner from sin once he or she had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know, in type, because he hadn't yet come. And so for the bad toss of the coin on this, if their sin had not been confessed, there would be a removal of that lost soul from the house of Israel, which in the prophetic means, when the eastern sky splits, if you had not repented before the plagues that fell directly before the Lord returned, and the plagues fall within a year, we don't know exactly, well, until the plagues start falling, then the Lord, of course, will give us the understanding as when it ends, but before the plagues, no, you're not going to know how long it's going to last for those plagues. But if you're not ready for the Lord when the plagues start, if you have any unconfessed sins, well, then you're forever going to be cut off from God's people, which means you will not be in heaven. It's just that simple. And so, even there, the prophetic, this is why we're studying the sanctuary. This is where we're getting into the meat of it, by the way, because we're winding down. I think we've only got about a year left in the study, maybe a year and a half. But when we look at the Day of Atonement, And then look at what happens at his second coming. We can see that the wicked are separated from the obedient people of God who are about to ascend to heaven with Jesus on that great and dreadful day. We see the anti-typical Day of Atonement being represented here. It's great for us, but it's very dreadful for them. That's why, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's going to be very scary for the Christians. No, it's not. Yeah, we'll be concerned about this or that, but our biggest concerns are that he's coming, and he's coming for us. It's going to be really frightening and scary, and it's going to be like blood-curdling horror for the wicked, because they have no peace in Christ. They have no anchor. They have no way of getting vindication. This is why the prophet Amos said they're going to be going back and forth, all over the place, trying to figure out if there's a Bible verse that'll vindicate them, because now they know the plagues have begun, and they're not ready. It's too late now, though. And for those of us that study the prophecies, we know the second coming of Christ is not the day of judgment, as Rome and nearly every church teaches today. Judgment actually started as per the prophecy of Daniel 8:14. In fact, we are going through the judgment right now. And that irks them. They don't want anything to do with that. It scares them, in fact. But as we learned by studying the prophetic calendar, we know that 10 days before, or the 10th day of the 7th month, the priests were instructed by God to blow the trumpets so as to ready the people of for the Day of Atonement. And since Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:6 both say that a day equals a year in prophecy, then at some time in the year 1833 or 34, the people of God all around the world, not just the Millerites here in America, but all around the world, started warning the nations of the coming judgment that would commence 10 years later on the 10th day of the 7th month, which in the Vatican version of the calendar that they corrupted the daylights out of, according to the prophet Daniel, that's October 22nd, 1844. Because we don't use the Jewish calendar anymore. Although we can, but, you know, it kind of gets confusing when you look at all the other calendars. And so that's why we have leap year and all this other stuff. Because the Jewish calendar is 30 days for every month. It just, bam, straight down the line. So, but digging a little deeper into this, I found that William Miller did just that in the United States, because we all knew this, and many others were moved by the Lord all around the world, to do this 10-year thing, you know, to go forth and warn the people of the coming judgment, just like they did in the sanctuary services every year, 10 days before, you know, the Day of Atonement came. They blew the trumpets to let the people know, you got to get ready. Well, 10 days before the investigative judgment started, the people of God started going out there with their trumpets, you know, like putting out the tracts and writing the sermons and sharing the scripture and defining the things. It was all going on, letting people know the judgment day was coming. But of course, because Rome confused the daylights out of everybody, they thought judgment day meant the end of the world. That's where they got their little mistake in 1844. And that was prophesied. It's actually in the book of Revelation that they would make that mistake. And so that even locks them down further as being people of God. So they did this for the exact same reasons the Jews did it in their day. Those trumpets announced the coming day of the judgment in the same way the sermons that were spoken from the pulpits all over the world for 10 years warned the people of the coming day of judgment. In fact, this is where the prophecy of Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7 says, or was fulfilled, you know. It says this. That's what I was talking about a minute ago here. But it says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and the earth and the sea, and the fountains of waters. That, by the way, was angel number one of the three angels. And that's what we preach today. We preach angel number one, two, three, all three of them. But did you notice how the warning was given, though? Not only did it say the judgment was coming, which then solidifies our biblical doctrine of the investigated judgment starting in the exact year the prophet Daniel spoke of, but this message was it went forth to highlight who it was that does the judgment when it used the exact same terminology to describe the Creator God who will do the judgment as he described in commandment number 4. Check it out. Exodus 20 verse 11. Just that one verse. I mean, because, you know, it's 8 to 11 is obviously the fourth commandment. Check out verse 11. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Right? In fact, that's the seal. You got the Lord made heaven and earth. You know, it's just name, title, territory. So anyway, in Revelation 14, though, check this out. It says to worship them that made... Wait, no, it says in Revelation 14, it says worship him, rather, that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Now do you see why the people of God not only declared the warning of his judgment beginning on October 22nd, 1844? You know, not long after that, they became known as a people that had two fruits that no other Christians had the world over. None of them. These people not only declared Christ Lord, they also started to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, wherein the description of the Creator is mentioned in the exact same way. It was mentioned when the message to be ready for the judgment commenced in the years leading up to 1844. That's why I mentioned what it says here in regards to, you know, the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is. And so, not only was this a fulfillment of Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7, or angel number 1, we see that which is penned in Joel chapter 2, which says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." And this is why we, the remnant of her seed, go forth and declare these truths that we've been going forth with, you know, the last, who knows how many decades. It's, you know, I know we started doing it right after I left the Catholic Church, was like 35, 6 years ago. But I didn't know about the Sabbath until 10 years later. But now we see how blowing the trumpet in Zion is trying to warn the people that are in, you know, like the Ninth Hour Church, because all the other churches, they got to understand what the law is before they can even understand what we're seeing here. They think the mark of the beast is like a tattoo or a berry chip or you know, something that's slammed on your forehead, you know, like, you know, the 666 thing. That's what they all think. That's why the Hell's Angels have it. A lot of them will tattoo their foreheads, you know, with it. A lot of people do that, and they don't seem to realize because they can't see what we see, because the only way to understand prophecy is to obey the God that wrote it. And so with the Seventh-day Adventist people, when you look at what's going on there, it's the Lord's trying to warn them to get out before it's too late. We got to blow the trumpet and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And that doesn't mean to go in and sit in a pew in a Seventh-day Adventist church. No. You warn them to get them to come out. And so this is... And you know, we've got a lot of information in regards to warning the people about the SDA church and the people that are in there and how they're embracing apostasy and they don't even know it. But I just got word this morning that from one of the sisters in the faith here, Sister Tracy, sent me an article. I'll be checking it out tomorrow or the next day. I'll be putting it online. I might even make a video about it. I don't know. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church just sent $1 million to the LGBT movement. And then we also know that they've been declaring Allah is God. They got a 501c3. It's just a big mess. It's just a big mess. And so you don't want to be in that church when the plague starts, because we also know by inspiration and the spirit of prophecy that the people that bowed down in worship before the obedient 144,000, as they start to glow, we call the Gideon Band, the people that bowed down in worship before us, if we're in that number, are Seventh-day Adventists. It's right there in Spirit of Prophecy. But again, if you're reading an edited book, you know, and that's another reason why, you know, like for example, the King James was a major threat to the Vatican. So now you got the NIV, the NASB, the Douay Rheims, and or bogus Bibles, as I call them, right? Thousands and thousands of verses are missing and rewritten. And then some of the helps, I think it was Brother Sean or Eli at one of the camp meetings showed me, if you could put it up in the room, which verse was that, brother, that they didn't change the verse, but they put helps in the Bible. It was an SDA Bible with SOP in it, in the comments, you know, and it said something about Sunday being the Sabbath. I can't remember if that was it. Was it Acts chapter 20, verse 7? Oh, yeah, it was referring to Acts 20, verse 7. Yeah, but it was from the Old Testament. It was something in the Old Testament, and it was pointing forward. It actually used Acts 20, verse 7 as... Well, here, I'm going to go there real... Somebody put Acts 20, verse 7 in the room there so everybody could see this. Oh, okay, it could have been that. It could have been that too, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think that was it, yeah. Because Revelation 1, verse 10, yeah, where it says, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I have that Bible, that version in my... I don't know if I have the exact same one that you had, brother, because mine's old. You can't get them anymore. And at least I can't. I can't find them. The guy that I used to buy them from and give them to people, he doesn't do it anymore. But it said, and then, you know, like where you got the helps or you got the cross-referencing, it literally, you know, brought you to Acts 20, verse 7, which says, and on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue his speech until midnight. Well, first of all, like I say on my site, as well as in the video where I show all the verses that they take out of context to make it look like Sunday is the Sabbath. If this is really a Sabbath, then we got to do this Sabbath every single solitary day that they break bread. That we break bread, we have to. That was the other one. That, you know, never mind about that, but. I don't know of any sermon that is supposed to continue on until midnight, that too, but it is out of context. We know it's way out of context because Acts chapter 20, verse 7 is not talking about a Sabbath. It was a meeting, you know, he was about ready to leave, and so Paul preached unto them before he went on his journey, and it was just a meeting, a church meeting, if you will. Anyway... that's about that for this. I mean, I had other thoughts that came to mind as I was reading this, but they kind of like flew out. We have to continue on with the work we're doing. Oh, that's what it was. Thank you, Lord. It was, I was going to end with this. It says in inspiration, I don't know exactly where it's at in the spirit of prophecy, but... I know what's in there, though. I've seen people read it on camera and put it on screen, and I've never written it down yet, even though I've seen it a few times, but I think most of you know what I'm talking about all this. It was stated that the loud cry goes forth in the exact same way as the midnight cry. And where was the church during the midnight cry? It wasn't formed yet, was it? It was not organized under man. There was no pope, president, or first of equals. There was no manly leader. They were all over the world just doing what the Holy Spirit moved them to do. It was a mighty movement. And that's what the Seventh-day Remnant movement is all about. We have no pope, pastors, we have pastors, but we have no pope, president, or first of equals, or anything like that. Christ is our leader. We have churches in people's homes all around the world. And it can't, the loud cry cannot go out with an organized, like the way the denominations, if you will, are organized today. We only carry the name SDR to prevent people from suing us And it makes it that much easier just to say, you know, we're kind of like SDA, but we don't embrace apostasy. We don't preach Trinity. We don't preach Allah is God or homosexual marriage is okay and all this other stuff, which they all do. You know, it's all on record. We got it all on SDAapostasy.org with on camera saying that stuff, you know. And we don't have a president saying that there's nothing in the pipeline about Sunday laws, because there's thousands and thousands of articles about them talking about Sunday laws all around the world, and I have it on my Sabbath Attack page. It's been on there for well over a decade. I mean, that was one of the first pages I put on the site. That many articles. It's crazy how many articles are out there. So that was just a bold-faced lie on camera, what he did that day. So keep him in your prayers. He needs to repent, because that kind of stuff, liars are not allowed in heaven, period. It's just like drunkards or anyone else, but it does say clearly that liars are not allowed in heaven in Revelation. And so, anyway, if you want to be part, if you want to partake in the loud cry, if you want to partake in being obedient to your Lord, your Savior, and King, and be ready for Him to return, you need to get out of all the apostate churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where probation has closed on the corporate body of that church. Not on the people yet. Not on the people yet. But because they got time to get out. But hopefully they get out before those plagues hit. Now, that's the sad thing. Some people will get out right before the plagues hit. But what kind of work did they do for the Lord? Nothing. They were in disobedience all the way up until that time, just like the thief hanging on the cross. But praise God, some of them will make it. But boy, they got a lot of learning they have to do when they get home. And so, anyway, hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.